Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Glamier. Hi, this is Dr. Tabitha Mir. I'm a cosmetic dermatologist, owner, and founder of Mir Skin Cosmetic in New York City, and star of an Emmy Award-winning Bravo TV show. My podcast is all about great conversations with your favorite celebrities, media personalities, and well-known experts in the worlds of lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. Through their stories, I hope to uplift, inspire, and educate. This is Glamier.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Glamour Radio. I'm here with Katie Maloney Schwartz.
Hi.
Vanderpump Rules and so much more. I kind of want to welcome you because we talked a year ago before you got married, over a year ago.
Almost 2 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And at that time, you were planning your wedding. You just got engaged and it's so much has happened between now and then. So welcome back.
Thanks.
I kind of, don't want to talk too much about Vanderpump Rules today. How's that sound?
I talk about Vanderpump Rules all the time. Well, so that's okay with me.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you that, you know, I interview a lot of really amazing people that are on these shows. And sometimes during my interviews with them, I realize there's so much more to them than what you see on the show. Don't you agree?
Well, we are humans and we, you know, we're like onions. We have layers.
Yeah.
We have other stuff going on.
But it's been 6 seasons, though.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 6 seasons.
I know. Sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, season 1 feels like yesterday, but then also it feels like a lifetime.
How have you changed in those 6 seasons?
Oh, I mean, personally. I haven't changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the show changing me, you know, obviously, friendships have changed,
yeah,
and dynamics change, and people fall apart and come back together.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the obvious changes. But, you know, personally, I was going through my own personal, you know,
yeah,
issues of self-love and acceptance,
right,
and confidence.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about today,
yeah,
because it's that I find very interesting and inspirational, mm-hmm, and fascinating about you. I think that I remember season 1. This is just me as somebody watching. You were the solid, mm-hmm, friend. But then you kind of came into your own over the time that you were filming. And
right,
that was probably that self-love that was starting to take effect, right?
Possibly. At the time, you know, I wasn't completely aware, mm-hmm, of what was going on, mm-hmm, on a mental or emotional level. But friendships, relationships progress, you grow within them. And I think just asserting myself,
mm-hmm,
a little more with my friends and not being taken advantage of.
Having a voice.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not being taken advantage of. You said you were going through a lot at the time when the first season kind of came around. Can you tell us what you were going through? I know you talked a little bit about what happened.
About my accident?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So in 2009, November of 2009, I was at a friend's house and chill night, drinking,
yeah,
wine, playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
And we went on the roof and I sat on a skylight. In hindsight, it sounds like the dumbest idea, but
yeah,
it was a huge skylight. I wasn't some like 300-pound person. I thought,
yeah,
it could hold me, but it ended up breaking and I fell and I got hurt really badly. I broke my shoulder, ribs, my jaw. I lost teeth. And I, the scariest part was I had a brain injury.
Mm-hmm. A traumatic brain injury.
Yeah. And so for a long time, I just was focused on healing, obviously, yeah, and trying to have a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I, you know, went back to my life every day that I started to notice and feel that I just wasn't the person that I was anymore. And,
mm-hmm,
not understanding how, you know, brain injuries have an effect on someone's personality.
Yeah, they do.
And so trying to just maintain as I thought I was and not really being that person, it was a lot of confusion. I had a lot of, you know, survivor's guilt,
mm-hmm,
and just, I didn't understand why I was, I didn't ever, nothing in my life had ever happened like that. Mm-hmm. So not understanding trauma and, like, you know, PTSD and, mm-hmm. and bouts of, you know, depression that came with that. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it was confusing, and I was just trying to work through it on my own. I didn't want to, you know, alarm my friends and family because I, you know, they had been worried about me for months, just with what had happened, and I didn't want to, you know, make them think like, oh, are you okay today?
Right.
What's going on?
And you didn't necessarily want all that attention when you're trying to figure out yourself.
Exactly.
And it sounds like what you were trying to do is pretend to be the person that you were before so that everybody around you wasn't alarmed.
Yeah.
And it was confusing for you because you realized that's not who you are anymore.
Right. And it wasn't that it wasn't me anymore, but there had been some changes mm-hmm. that I couldn't, you know, ignore or pretend that weren't there. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to figure out how to get back to that person mm-hmm. or feel like myself again, but also, you know, embrace mm-hmm. what I had gone through and embrace the fact that, you know, I have a better, you know, deeper appreciation of yeah. life and whatever that means.
Yeah. yeah. You appreciate it because you almost didn't have it anymore.
Yeah. And at that age, I was, you know, 23, 24. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty crazy thing to come to terms with, you know, your own mortality. You think that I'm young and I have my whole life yeah. and the world is
you
my
think
oyster.
You're indestructible.
And you realize that it's fragile and nothing, tomorrow's not a guarantee.
No.
And so my whole rewiring of life and who I was changed.
Yeah. You know? Did in many ways you feel like, I'm not sure, but I feel like, did you feel like you didn't, your friends around you were worrying about things that you felt weren't that important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Not to diminish what they were going through, but I'm sure you had a different set of issues that you were working through in a bigger picture.
Yeah, and that was really hard mm-hmm. to describe.
Yeah, someone you felt like isolated maybe?
Yeah, because I didn't want to be insensitive or callous, mm-hmm. obviously, but no one else could relate to me on that
depth.
And understand that thought process that I had of just like, this is dumb. And mm-hmm. I still catch myself getting yeah. caught up in petty things, and I have to really pull myself aside and think, this is not important.
Not important.
Don't subscribe to this. And it's hard because, you know.
Yeah. But the thing that I find fascinating about that is that's some real test of your character and what you've been through. And then you're thrust into one of the most popular Bravo TV shows where that kind of drama is important to the show. Surviving.
Yeah. There was a lot of.
So how do you manage that?
It was a struggle of turning it on and turning it off. Mm-hmm. And not trying to take it home with me and think about it when I go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
But it is difficult because it's so intense mm-hmm. when you're going through it
yeah.
that it's impossible to just brush it off or let it just, you know, not affect you, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Now, from what you've said and what you talked about, a lot of your injuries, and I want to talk about this because I think it leads me into where we're talking about beauty and self-confidence. Mm-hmm. A lot of your injuries were physical yeah. as well as the brain injury. You had trauma to your jaw. Mm-hmm. And you have a scar because of that. Did that also add to your healing process, looking at yourself in the mirror and wondering if you're ever going to get yourself back to where you were before?
No. The vanity mm-hmm. of it wasn't bothering me. I could have gone to a plastic surgeon mm-hmm. to minimize the scar. Or,
I think every scar has a story.
You know, tried. Yeah, but I was like, no, this mm-hmm. is like my badge of honor. This is, you know, I survived something, and this mm-hmm. this is,
yeah,
this is what shows it. Mm-hmm. And I think it gives me character. You know, like I looked at Tina Fey. I'm like, she's got a scar on her face, and it's awesome. So I wasn't. I'm concerned
that didn't
with,
bother you as much.
No. Mm-hmm. No, it was more just on a mental, emotional level. Yeah.
And so you're filming the show. It's becoming very successful. And then you met Tom after the accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how were you able to, was it a challenge to kind of, after you've been such a trauma, or was it easier to fall in love with somebody after that? Did you find yourself more vulnerable, less vulnerable? Am I making you uncomfortable?
No, I'm just I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
When I met Tom, mm-hmm. I had just had like a long bout of like failed bad dating yeah. relationship kind of thing with people.
Yeah.
So when I met him, I was more just like, ugh.
Here.
I can't go through this again with someone and get heartbroken or just have it not work out.
Yeah.
But I did fall for him, and we took it slow. I mean, we were just kind of hanging out and spending time together and dating, but weren't putting any kind of labels or restrictions on it. And then eventually it just, you know.
Eventually got married.
The rest is history.
But when you're filming with him on a show, that's another thing. Relationships on TV can be really tested. And, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I've had housewives in here. I've had other people. And then I see that the TV aspect of it affects the personal. Have you guys managed to keep that out of your personal?
Have we or how?
Have you? How have you?
Yeah, I mean, when before the show started, I mean, there was so much, you know, about the unknown that was scary and exciting. And obviously, I was concerned about how it was going to affect our relationship.
Yeah.
But I was like, but this will test. If we are strong and we really have that solid foundation, we will get through it. If we don't, then this might be the best thing that could happen for us, because it just will
It'll show us that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we try to, you know, remind ourselves that we know what's really going on with us, and not let the comments or what the media says about our relationship and who we are. We know each other, and we you know, we've, that's been what's kept us together, is our testament to one another.
Your communication has been on point.
Well, not always.
Not always.
But that was something that we learned to work on, and now it's, we have such solid communication and more respect for one another, which should have already, like, always been there, but, you know, it's hard sometimes.
So 2 years ago when I interviewed you, you just gotten engaged, you're about to plan your wedding, and you couldn't really share a lot. Now, you know, wedding's out there, you guys are married. Was that, was the wedding everything you imagined?
Oh, and more.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being at my wedding and just looking around, and just everyone was having the best time,
and you were having a good time.
We were having such a
brides don't know, the brides, some of the weddings I've been to, the brides are just miserable because the song didn't play on cue. You know what I mean? And you had a good time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I really, you know, I stressed more than enough before it, because I just wanted to, I'm like, if I plan everything and everything is good to go and we have a good, you know, the coordinators at the event were so solid on point that once the day of the wedding came around, I'm like, there's nothing to stress about. And if something goes wrong, who cares?
Who cares?
It's not about being on a schedule and having things, you know, queued up to go perfectly. I don't sweat those things.
That's good.
But I wanted to enjoy my wedding, because I know a lot of brides out there, they're stressed out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you know, you plan it and then it goes by so fast and you don't even get to enjoy it because you're just having to talk to everyone. And, you know, and I was like, I don't want that.
And how did you choose your bridesmaids?
I wanted the women who were in my life and had been supportive of me and my relationship with Tom, and I, you know, I don't think there was like a guideline to how I chose. It was the people who were special and important in my life, and I wanted to stand up there with me.
Yeah, which was great. And so you also, and that's great to hear, because I remember when we were talking about it, there wasn't a lot you could say. And I remember you and Stassi kind of had a friendship that you kind of started back up again. And everybody was wondering, was she going to, well, they all know she was there and, you know, and all that. So that's kind of cool to be able to talk to you about it again after the fact, because that's sort of like, for me, that was the last conversation I had with you about it. So after the fact, you know, one of the cool things that I thought that you do is that you do this amazing blog that you've started, and it's all about beauty, Pucker and Pout. What was your inspiration behind that? It's a really well done website.
Thank you. Yeah, I have my partner Jennifer is amazing, and she was very instrumental in starting it, because I wanted an outlet and something I could create and be excited about, and she really encouraged me, and she's like, well, you always have like the best like beauty tips, and you know so much about makeup and how to do hair and all of that, so you should really do this. And so I was like, well, let's do it together, because she also knows a lot about like the health and wellness aspect.
So
I'm like,
team.
Yeah, so us coming together will kind of make it more well-rounded, and I wanted it to be approachable for, you know, have stuff for men and women of all ages, and just, I'm not a professional. I didn't go to school for it. So I thought that would make it more approachable. Like, listen, I don't.
But today no one goes to school for, I obviously went to school for being a doctor. But I mean, like, if you know beauty and makeup and you're well educated on it, mm-hmm. you can make great content.
Yeah. I just soaked up all of that from the time I was, you know, young. Yeah. It was just fun. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, makeup is, in doing your hair is a fun way to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's artistic. And it's not about, you know, the vanity and shallowness. It's just about
fun.
It's about,
and it makes you feel good. How's that vein? That's what I say.
I feel really good when I'm wearing like a nice, like, red lipstick.
Yeah,
and it boosts your confidence when you feel like you look good. And that's why, even with like men, I'm like, don't be ashamed to like
wear put red on lipstick.
No, but don't be ashamed to like put on some concealer. Like, you shouldn't have to be ashamed because you got a pimple on your face. It doesn't make you, you know.
Yeah.
Feminine, if you want to do that. It's about taking pride in
well,
yourself.
Well, most women that I know, their stuff is, like, especially when they were coming into me for, like, creams and stuff like that at my office, a lot of times they say, well, my boyfriend uses all of this, so I've got to buy more. So it's, you know.
Oh, yeah. My Tom, he loves the face creams. He loves, like, face masks.
Yeah.
And
that's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things about this particular season and past seasons is like, and the reason I want to emphasize that you do have this great platform for beauty, because you also have a good message that you're sending out about body confidence and things like that.
Yeah.
Because you've been the target of some pretty mean comments, mm-hmm. and you handled it pretty well. Can you talk about what happened there?
I mean, it was hard, because already not feeling totally sure of myself, mm-hmm. and confident for reasons that I didn't really understand for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was because of the accident, that maybe some depression was there from that too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, I'm a woman, and you know, our bodies are made to change, and we all fall into the whole, you know, stereotypes and what the standard is that the media puts out, and we put pressure on ourselves. And, and I just think that is so, I don't want to say it's unhealthy. I mean, it is unhealthy, but it happens, and it's so unfortunate, and it's not fair that we as women are subjected to that and to comments. Like, it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. And I think I went through a struggle of not liking my body. Yes, I did gain weight. I didn't need people to tell me that I gained weight. I live inside this skin.
Yeah.
I know what's
and what
going
people
on.
Don't understand about women and our bodies and gaining weight, you already feel like crap about it.
Mm-hmm.
You already know.
Yeah, it
and
was,
you're not
it was,
happy. And then to have somebody else point it out.
Yeah, it was hard. Like, not my clothes didn't fit the same, and I didn't know how to get dressed in the morning, and I didn't like to get dressed because I couldn't wear what I wanted to wear, and I didn't like my body.
We've all been there.
I didn't, and that was really toxic to myself, of not having a good relationship with, you know, my body, because, you know, and that's when the comments that I got on social media really started to affect me, because as much as I tried to ignore it, and I'm like, it doesn't matter, they're just being trolls, it creeps into your psyche. When you see and you read stuff about yourself nonstop, it eventually is going to have an effect on you. And I couldn't believe the things that people would say. I'm like, I never even asked you, and why do you think it's okay?
Yeah.
It's never okay to talk about someone's weight and size.
They don't see you as human anymore.
No.
And they see you as a target to make. I mean, listen, I was on my show and I wore a white dress once, and I was PMSing, and I had this white dress on, and then they needed me to put it on the next day because they needed to do something else with that same dress on, and it was at the dry cleaners and it was still wet, and I had to put on a wet white jersey dress. Okay, you feel me? And I was PMSing and I had to put a belt on, so I had, you know, that whole puffy gutty thing going on, that pooch. And somebody saw it on TV and wrote to me on Twitter, basically saying, who do you think you are wearing a dress? Something really stupid like that. And I always think to myself, wow, who has time to write those comments? If you're writing stuff like that, you're suffering from lack of self-love. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, why do we talk to each other that way? And finally, with your platform that you're on, with how many comments you must have been getting, it does start to affect you.
Yeah.
So what do you do? And it seems like it comes back to you. Like, I remember this happening before about, you know, your body, and then this happened this season with somebody saying something. It's like, enough already, right?
Yeah, I've heard it all. What happened was, eventually I was just like, I'm not happy with my body, and already, and then in seeing this, and then I was just, you know, and that affected my overall attitude towards everyone. When you don't feel confidence and when you're insecure, you yourself lash out. The same as people that come and write or, you know, comment on those things. And so I just was just, I was like, this is enough, Katie. This is not you.
Yeah.
You've been trying so hard to get back to the person you were, and whatever you're doing right now is holding you back. Mm-hmm. So I just had to, like, every one day at a time, just really learn to accept and love certain things. I'm like, well,
yeah,
I really like my butt. I really, you know, and just, and
by the way, you're gorgeous. I don't know what everybody's freaking out over.
But over time, yeah, I just had to start to love myself again.
And it's just, you just chose. It's just a choice you made. You're like, I just need to stop.
It's always a choice when it comes to your own attitude and how you want to live your life. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not happy with my body. Mm-hmm. And so being unhappy and insecure is not going to change that. So just go work out. Mm-hmm. And just that, I liked that lifestyle. And it's not about, I want to lose this much weight, or I want, it wasn't about like the goals. It was about just having a change of lifestyle and feeling better about myself every day and not focusing on the scale or any of that. Mm-hmm. And so I've just since become just more of a accepting person of myself.
What are you going to tell people, girls specifically, guys, you know, anyone, about self-love, about, you know, if they're being bullied by anyone? Mm-hmm. Social media is a bitch these days. But what if they just don't feel good? What if somebody is in a position and they just are so, they've lost hope and they have despair and they're just unhappy with themselves? What kind of guidance would you give
them? I think it's just one day at a time and doing something for yourself that makes you feel good. And it could be just like, why don't you go get, like, your hair blown out? So you feel like, oh, like, those little things. I mean, I know it sounds vain or whatever, but it makes you feel better. Go to the gym. I always feel better after I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And just realize that this is a relationship with yourself that needs nurturing. Mm-hmm. So just doing things day at a time that make you feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best I can say.
Just do something, whether it's something really, really small, just to kind of start to edge yourself out of a negative.
Yeah, mindset. And focus on the things that you do like about yourself.
So when you have that state of mind, there's a lot of negative self-talk. There just is, right? Mm-hmm. It's so funny. My mom once, I when you go through that stage in your life where you start to get grumpy and whatever, and my mom said to me, you know, because I would say things to myself, like all girls do, like, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. And my mom said to me, she's like, would you let your friend talk to you the same way you talk to yourself? And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I had a friend.
And I was like, oh, no, I wouldn't.
I had a friend use some, like, tough love on me because, you know, she's always been, like, very honest with me. And there was one time we were shopping and we were trying stuff on, and I was so bummed because nothing was fitting me. And I was, like, having to go get bigger sizes. And I was like, I hate this. I hate my body. And she was like, Katie, stop complaining. Like, if you're not happy, then change it.
Yeah.
You're the only one, you're the only one with the power to change that and change your attitude and feel better. If you don't like it, you gotta. And I was like, at first I was like, I'm like obviously upset right now. But then I was like, she's right.
Yeah.
This, no one's going to make this better for myself except for myself. Mm-hmm. So I need to knock off this negative attitude and start thinking positively. Mm-hmm. So what is one thing that I'm like, okay, I have great eyebrows.
You have great eyebrows.
You know, and then from there, now I'm just
I
love it
eyebrows.
All.
Yeah, and your hair. I mean, like, I'm looking at, like, the eyebrows, the hair, the lashes. You got that. So you got that covered, all right? So, yeah, that's a great step. Think about something on yourself that you really admire.
Just one thing at a time, one day at a time, and eventually you will, they'll just love it again.
You'll spring into action. There's going to be ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I still have bad days where I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Mm-hmm. But just a bad moment and a bad day is okay. But don't.
How has Tom supported you throughout all this? Because, you know, I haven't met him, but he just seems like he's just crazy about you and will do anything to make sure you're okay.
For a long time, even though he knew about my accident, he didn't understand really until more recently the extent of how I was left on a mental level and how that affected my personality and my own, you know, relationship with him and everyone else and as well as myself. Like, he didn't understand, and he actually started researching, like, you know, brain injuries and how they do affect someone's mental state and their personality.
Did he not understand because you never really talked to him about it? Because sometimes it's hard to talk about things.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it all the time, like what happened, but it wasn't until recently that I became vocal about really how I felt, and because I didn't understand it, and I didn't have a lot of time to reflect and be totally honest with myself, and again, not wanting to sound like throwing myself a pity party or have people be like, oh, like,
so
it wasn't until I had a great understanding and I had come to terms on my own and my own self-acceptance that I was able to freely talk about it and be open.
Sometimes you have to heal yourself before you let people in.
Exactly.
Yeah, you really do. What kind of brain injury was it?
Subdural hematoma.
Okay, so that is blood. This is my doctor's side
bleeding
kicking in.
Of the brain.
you hit your head. It probably is a pretty massive trauma, and it's bleeding between the skull and the brain, and it's beneath the dura. That's the area that covers the brain, and that can be very, very, very traumatic to the brain. And so if people don't know, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal to come through and be out on the other side. So I'm talking about this. I know this is not Vanderpump Rules, not your normal Katie interview, but I think people really need to understand how strong and how hard it was for you and how strong you had to be to get here.
Yeah.
So I want to congratulate you on that. I think
thank
great.
You so much.
Yeah. I want to talk about something fun. Not that this isn't fun. I think it's so important, and I think it's so valuable to understand that about you. So I appreciate you sharing that with me. I really do. You got these lip glosses coming out.
Lipsticks.
Yeah. So you're doing a lipstick line with Julie Hewitt coming up. She's a makeup artist. Tell me about that. How did that happen?
Oh, gosh. Well, me and my partner, Jennifer, we had been working with this woman, Christina, who has done PR for a really long time with a lot of different makeup brands. And has been a great mentor and very knowledgeable and connected in the industry. And so we had been talking about wanting to do some kind of lipstick because our whole thing was the Pucker and Pout isn't going to be just a blog.
You wanted to be a product.
Branded as, you know, lifestyle. So we're like, let's see how some products would do. Well, I wonder if our, you know, readers and viewers would be interested in that. So we definitely wanted to partner with an expert, someone who really knew their stuff and already had a great product out there. And so Christina introduced us to Julie Hewitt, who's been a makeup artist in the industry forever.
A long time, yeah.
And she has a real, like, kind of cult following with her lipsticks are amazing, because we all know as lipsticks, it's not just finding the right color,
it's the wear.
Pigment, and how it feels on your lips, and the wearability. And she was doing makeup for the movie Pearl Harbor, and she was working in Hawaii and Texas, so you can imagine the humidity and how that would have an effect on makeup.
Yeah.
And so she was having a hard time with the pigments, and so she just started mixing her own formula. And then from there, she's like, "I have a great formula here, so let me create a line of lips." And so we're gonna be doing two lips.
Shades.
Yeah. So we got
what are they called?
One's called Pucker, one's called Pout.
That's great.
I think, you know, always having like a nice, like, bright statement lip, and then also having a solid nude are really important. Always
all
keep
you
them
need.
In your purse. So you can transition from day to night, night to day. And so we wanted to have, I definitely took inspiration from all, like, my favorite lipsticks and what I liked about them and kind of married all that into one. And the pigments on them are so amazing. You don't need to layer it on there. Just one nice thin layer. The color will pop like none other, and it stays on.
Because
the thing with lipstick is, like, you want to eat and drink.
And I lick my lips a lot.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. So I didn't want to have to think about that. Because I'm considering I have I'm pretty low maintenance. Anything that requires, like, constant upkeep, I'm like, no, thank you. These lipsticks are...
How exciting.
Amazing. And they feel so good on.
And they're not like the everyone's doing these matte lips right now that kind of come on and they stay on. And I was so obsessed with that for a while. Then I realized, wait, I look like I have powder. Like, they just start to flake and they get powdery and they just don't feel moist.
If you're not... Yeah, you have to, like, prep your lips. Yeah. So you got to exfoliate.
The more you wear, the drier your lips get.
Exactly. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't understand with certain products, they have so much drying agents in them, and that's why matte matte lipsticks look the way they do mm-hmm. because they're a dry mm-hmm. drying agent in there. So you can have like a matte cream mm-hmm. that still has that sort of like flat finish, mm-hmm. maybe tiny bit of sheen, but not yeah. too, more like a satin.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to achieve that look, but that's more realistic to wear.
When are these available and where?
They are going to be launched on April 16th. And they're going to be sold mostly through Julie's site, mm-hmm. but we're going to have, you know, we'll post the links and everything, yeah. and we'll put it on Pucker and Pout. You can go to Pucker and Pout, and there'll be a button that says click here to buy, yeah. and it'll be, yeah.
And I'm sure if they follow you on social media, they'll be able to figure out where to go from there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I'm really excited to see the lips and see what's coming of it. And oh, by the way, you're going to be doing your reunion for Vanderpump Rules, what, in April now? So yeah. watch her for that. And can you please tell everybody where your social media is so they can find you for all this fun stuff you've got coming up?
Yeah. So mostly check me out on Twitter and
Twitter.
Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram.
For both, it's at Music Kills Kate.
Yeah. I'm really excited to talk to you again after all this time and really get to know you better. And thank you for sharing your story. And I'm going to be your first customer for your lipsticks.
Yay.
I'm going to be up there and I'll buy it and I'll rock it for you and I'll post it. So thank you for coming on. I can't wait to have you back on after we have another year of fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.